Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughan, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello and good morning. Good morning once again, and welcome to a new edition of Madrid in English, Madrid en Inglés. Every Sunday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I speak to you in English, sometimes in Spanglish, occasionally in Spanish. Ocasionalmente, occasionally, significa de vez en cuando. There are five expressions in English that mean de vez en cuando. The easiest is from time to time. It's very easy to remember and very easy to pronounce. So I recommend from time to time. However, it's the least common of the five expressions for de vez en cuando. And so the second is occasionally. Occasionally, from time to time. The third is every now and then. Cada hora y entonces, literalmente, every now and then, is an equivalent of from time to time. And then we have every so often, cada tan a menudo. No tiene sentido. Every so often means from time to time. And finally, the most common, at least in the United States, is every once in a while, cada una vez en un rato. Curioso. Every once in a while. It's interesting that the only two logical expressions are from time to time and occasionally. De tiempo en tiempo, o sea, de cuando en cuando. However, it's more common. The most common by far, por lejos, o sea, by far significa con mucha diferencia, by far. In the United States and Canada is every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll use only Spanish on this program. But welcome, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, my name is Richard Vaughan. I'm here to spend an hour with you today, speaking English and indirectly helping you improve your mastery to dominio, maestría, dominio, to improve your mastery of the English language. It takes a long time to master a language. The verb to master no significa dominar. To master es un proceso, es llegar a dominar. To master means transitar el proceso de dominio hacia el dominio con éxito. That's to master. O sea, ir dominando sería buena traducción. To master English, to master French, to master Spanish, to master German. It's very difficult to master a second language, especially if you begin the language seriously after puberty, when the human brain has changed. People, you change, you become a different person during and after puberty, and your mind, your brain, becomes more analytical, more judgmental, and you no longer accept things at face value. Face value, valor cara, valor rostro. ¿Qué significa face value? Tal como son. No aceptas las cosas tal cual. Yes, for example, in Spanish, you say, me gustan las flores. In English, we say, I like flowers. All right. These are two opposite approaches to the concept of liking. Me gustan las flores, in Spanish, means that the flowers are acting on me. Las flores actúan sobre mí, dándome placer o gustándome. Entonces, las flores son the subject, el sujeto de la frase, son las flores. ¿Qué hacen? Gustan, pero a mí, en particular, en este caso. So, however, in English, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Yo aprecio las flores. Yo actúo sobre las flores. Apreciándolas o amándolas. Claro, en español puedes decir, yo amo las flores. In English, I love flowers. However, it's not common to say amo las flores. You say, sí, me encantan las flores o me gustan las flores. Me encantan is more intense, the feeling about flowers. But in English we say, I like flowers, me gustan, o sea, aprecio, and I love flowers, me encantan. All right, o sea, amo, o quiero las flores. So it's, this is different, it's difficult. Before puberty, normally a child has no problem assimilating things that perhaps are illogical for their own language. Yes, illogical. For example, se lo dije. I told him. All right. Oh, lo di. Se lo di. Se lo dije. Now, to put the direct object and the indirect object, los dos complementos, before the verb, se lo dije a él. Se lo di a él. Him, let's say, se lo di. Him, it, I gave. Him, it, I gave. Se lo dije. O le lo dije a él. Se lo dije. Para evitar the cacophony of le lo dije, en español se cambia a se. Se lo dije. Se lo di. I gave it to him. Of course, in English we say, dilo a... I gave it, yo dilo a él. I gave, dilo a él. Se lo di. I gave it to him. So we put the two direct objects, in this case pronouns, after the verb. And you do the same in Spanish. Dáselo. Déselo. In this case, when it's an imperative, yes. You put the direct object and indirect object, complemento directo e indirecto, en este caso, en forma de pronombre. You put it after. Dáselo, déselo, dénselo, dádselo. All right. But when you're speaking that in normal conjugation, the present tense or the past tense, se lo doy cada día, se lo di ayer. And it's before. Now, that's very, very strange for an English-speaking person. To think, him, it, I gave? You say, give him it, dáselo. Give him it, yes, yesterday, him, it, I gave. So it's complicated to learn a second language. But children usually don't question these things. Their mind is not designed yet to start judging, juzgar, analyzing, quantifying, or studying. They simply accept things at face value. At face value means tal cual como son. Tal como son. At face value. But not after puberty. And so it becomes more difficult. So mastering a second language, especially if you begin in earnest after puberty, is difficult. In earnest. If you begin or if you start in earnest. ¿Y eso qué es? En Ernesto. Ernesto es un amigo mío. Yes, but earnest has a meaning. Earnest is also a name in English. Earnest. Not very common. But it also means serio. Earnest. And to start in earnest means to start seriously. Y se usa, ¿eh? Ojo. And so, if you start seriously, it takes a long time mastering a second language. People who promise you el oro y el moro, en tres meses usted hablará inglés. No. Bueno, en una, really, in 10 minutes with me, if you're a beginner, you will start to speak English. But you will not speak English well until 1,000 hours later. At least 1,000. It takes a long time. And people or companies or schools that promise you to learn English quickly, don't trust them. I've been doing this job for 50 years, and I have never seen a shortcut. Un atajo. The only shortcut is to go Well, my recommendation, if you want the most powerful shortcut, is to is to take 100 hours of private class, one-on-one, and then to go to Vaughan Town 10 times. And so you can do this in 6 months or 5 months. You can do this. And you will be very, very good after that. You will be fluent. You'll be bilingual practically. But you need those 100 hours of private class and then the 700 hours in Vaughan Town. That's 800 hours in all, but it's very powerful. Because in Vaughan Town, you talk for 12 hours. And you listen for 12 hours to native people, native speakers, not teachers, who don't speak Spanish. And so how much does it cost? I don't know. Well, the 100 hours cost around, let's see, 4,000 euros maybe, the 100 hours. 5,000 euros at the most, 5,000. And then the 10 Vaughan Towns cost 18,000. So we're talking about 23,000. And you have no problem for the rest of your life with English. Yes, no problem. Coste de un coche de gama sencilla is how much it cost to Renault Twingo. I don't know how much these cost. How much do these cars cost now? How much does a Renault Twingo cost? I really don't know. You see, I don't have a car. I sold my car 2 years ago and I haven't bought another. So I really don't know. Let's see. Renault Clio Nuevo. Let's look at that. How much does it cost? Let's find out. 16,000. 16,000 euros. All right, well, maybe for 16,000 you can solve the English problem. But you have to spend money. Well, you don't have to spend money. You can self-teach. And using the internet and using YouTube, you can accumulate the necessary time. But instead of 800 hours, you need 2,000. And besides, you can't speak. That's the problem. It's very difficult to gain a spoken ability. You can gain a listening comprehension ability, but not a spoken ability. But in any case, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. And I'm supposed to talk about Madrid, right? Not to talk about learning languages. But we're going to be together. We are going to be together every Sunday for a long time, I hope. So I have plenty of time to talk about Madrid. Plenty of time to talk about my life. Plenty of time to talk about San Martín de Valdeiglesias, which is in the community of Madrid. I have plenty of time to talk about Aranjuez. I have plenty of time to talk about Pezuela de las Torres, or to talk about Almoguera or Mondéjar. I have plenty of time to talk about Argan del Rey or Chinchón. So to talk about the community or the province of Madrid and to talk about Madrid. Because hopefully, con esperanza, hopefully we'll be together for a long time. Maybe I'll have more hours. 1 hour a week is not very much. But to provide English access to the citizens of the community of Madrid. So 1 hour a week is not very much. Maybe they'll give me two in the future. Who knows? Or maybe they'll take away my hour. It doesn't matter. So I do this for the amor al arte. I do this for the fun of it. Se la diversión de ello, the fun of it. I do this because it's cool. Porque mola. I do this because I like to do it. Why not? I teach at my age now because I like to, not because I need to. But in any case, Madrid en Inglés, in my last week, I finished in the summertime. In the summertime of 1976. In the summertime, when the weather is fine, you can reach right up, you can touch the sky. In the summertime, you've got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive. Go out and see what you can find. That's a classic by Mungo Jerry, I believe, in the summertime. And Madrid in the summertime is very hot. In Spain, or especially in the center of Spain, the old expression is 9 meses de invierno y 3 de infierno, which is not necessarily true. El infierno, hell, H-E-L-L, hell starts usually around the 15th of July and lasts until the 15th of August. Those 30 days are perhaps statistically the hottest days of the year. But there are exceptions, of course. I remember last July, I would say at least 20 of the 30 days were relatively mild. Mild, M-I-L-D, means suave. Como un tabaco suave, we say mild tobacco. Temperaturas suaves, mild temperatures. Un temperamento humano suave is a mild temper or a mild of personality or temperament, and things mild. And I remember in August, maybe 15 of the days were not terribly hot, and September and October were a bit cooler than usual. And November had some cold days, I remember. Leaving home in the morning, it was two degrees above zero, you know. And so it's, I think it's been a cooler September to December. September, October, November, and December. These 4 months have been a bit cooler than previous years. Or I've been living here for 50 years, and I pay attention. I pay attention to the weather. And so, yes, global warming, climate change. It's true in the winter. Over the past 15 or 20 years, I have noticed that the winters are milder than in the past. 45 years ago, the winters were colder than today. However, the summers are not hotter. People complain about the heat in the summer, but the summers have always been. I remember the summers in 1976. It was hot, really, really hot, unbearably hot. And in 1976, maybe 15% of the Spanish population had air conditioning in their homes. And still in 1976, people went to the Corte Inglés to escape the heat because of the, or Galerías Preciados en aquel entonces, back then. They went to Galerías Preciados or to Corte Inglés to escape the heat because these department stores had air conditioning. And people also went to the cinema to watch a movie. Of course, to watch the movie, but also to enjoy the climatización, to enjoy the air conditioning. So, because very few homes had air conditioning. But during the late 70s and during the 80s, many, many flats and apartments and houses installed air conditioning. And now, I think, I don't know what percentage of the people in Spain, the people especially, for example, in Madrid, in the community of Madrid, what percentage of the people have air conditioning? Of course, when you talk of the community of Madrid, if you talk about the Pueblo de Guadarrama, you know, the town of Guadarrama, Becerril de la Sierra, or Cercedo or Cercedilla, or I can't think of more. There are a lot more. Of course, Navacerrada. I'm not sure that they really need, you know, Al Pedrete. I'm not sure that they really need air conditioning. Or in El Escorial, perhaps. Although it can get hot in these towns, in the Sierra de Guadarrama, in the Guadarrama mountain range. Mountain range is Cordillera y también Sierra, the mountain range. The mountains to the north of Madrid. It's you don't need air conditioning, perhaps. But in the rest, I think maybe at least 50% of the flats and apartments have air conditioning, or probably more. But I've never looked up that statistic. Maybe during the break I'll take a look. Who knows? But I'm running out of time for this first segment of my program today. And I haven't progressed. I haven't done anything. But I'll be back, and I promise to start telling my life again in just a moment.
Llega a Madrid 101 Dálmatas, The Show, en el Gran Teatro CaixaBank Príncipe Pío. Entradas ya a la venta en laestacion.com.
Y recuerda, no todos los huevos son iguales. Huevos de maíz de Lucas.
Onda Madrid. Felices Reyes Magos.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back. We're in 1976. 1976, and I am 24 years old. No. Yes. No. Yes, I'm 24. You know, my birthday is in November. November 9th. Which means most of 1976, I was 24. I was born in 1951. So, 1976 is 25. However, I didn't turn 25 until late in the year, in the autumn of the year, November. And so I always get confused a little bit calculating. So when I calculate my age, for example, in 1976, how old was I? I start from 1952. Not 1951. And so I was 24. Most of the year, I was 24. I was working in a language school called Intercom, located at that time on Calle Mayor, número 6. Very, very, very close to the Puerta del Sol. And I was the general manager, really. I was in charge of teachers. I was doing a lot of selling, I was doing a lot of teaching, and I was doing a lot of translating and overseeing the work of other translators. To oversee is supervisar, to supervise. To supervise is the Latin origin term for supervisar. And to oversee is the Anglo-Saxon term, sobrever, literalmente. Similar, supervisar, it's similar. Visar, super. So I was working very hard, easily 12 hours a day. And I didn't have a sentimental relationship, although a lady from the Central Nuclear Zorita living in Guadalajara came in often on the weekends. So I had a companion on the weekends, let's say. And I had a good friend, the receptionist in Intercom, starting in early 1977, in February 1977, I invited her to Segovia, to Casa Cándido, to have, of course, roast lamb. Cordero asado, lamb. Fijaos, se escribe lamb con B al final, pero es B muda. Lamb, roast lamb. And 11 months later, she was my wife. We got married in December 1977. However, it's very uncommon for people to get married in December. But I am an uncommon person, poco común. I do things contracorriente siempre, always. Maybe that's the reason for my success as an entrepreneur, because I do things the opposite way. For example, when we toss a coin or flip a coin, tirar una moneda al aire. ¿Cara o cruz? Siempre digo cruz. I always say tails. Ever since I was a little boy, 5 years old, I always said tails. In English, we say heads or tails. O sea, cabezas o colas. O rabos. Heads or tails. Heads or tails. Heads or tails. Cara o cruz. And, I mean, most people, I think 90% of the people, you know, when somebody flips a coin, says, cara o cruz, cara. They always say, and in the English-speaking world as well. Heads or tails? Heads. Me, for some reason, I say tails. Yes. I remember in 1960, when John Kennedy was running for president of the United States against Richard Nixon. My family and practically everybody in Houston, Texas, was in favor of Richard Nixon. And I decided to be in favor of John Kennedy. I don't know why. Well, John Kennedy was young, very handsome, of course. But Texas in general was pro-Nixon. And my family, my father, my mother, and my sister were pro-Nixon. So I, for some reason, I was pro-Kennedy. Always contracorriente. Always swimming against the current. Decimos nadando contra la corriente. Swimming against the current. And that's the same as always. I've always done it that way. And so in the summer of 1976, my parents came. We spent some time, I think we went down to Granada, I don't remember, and to Cordoba to see the mezquita, to see the mosque, of course, to see the Alhambra. In English, para decir la Alhambra de Granada, recomiendo aspirar la H, Alhambra. Because if you say Alhambra, native English speakers perhaps will not understand you. See, the Alhambra in Granada. Ah, the Alhambra. Because we pronounce the H in this case. And I think in Arabic, it's Alhambra or Alhambra. Alhambra. I think it is, there is a pronunciation there of the H or a J sound. Here we say Alhambra. Yeah, and so I took, and also to Segovia, maybe to Avila to see the walls. My father, I remember he enjoyed seeing the walls of Avila, las murallas de Avila, because my parents remembered very, very well the movie called The Pride and the Passion, Orgullo y Pasión. The Pride and the Passion was a movie made in 1958, with Frank Sinatra, Sophia Loren, and Cary Grant. And the Spanish actor, very young. I can't remember his name. Let me look it up. Pasión, Pride and Passion. I can't remember the name. And he lived his whole life, I believe, in the Barrio Salamanca in Madrid. And I saw him once in a pharmacy in Madrid. Let's see, The Pride and the Passion. 1957, not 19, Orgullo y Pasión. Now the Spanish actor was Carlos Larrañaga. That was it. Carlos Larrañaga. That was it. The director was Stanley Kramer with Cary Grant, Frank Sinatra, and Sophia Loren. Okay. Very good movie. It was a movie about the Spanish partisans. Partisanos Españoles, during the Napoleonic Wars. The French were occupying Avila, and Cary Grant was a British officer. And he brought together Spanish partisans to help him move a cannon, an enormous cannon, over about 100 kilometers within view of the walls of Avila, in order to destroy the walls and retake Avila. And so basically the movie is the Spanish partisans, together with Cary Grant, moving that silly cannon. El protagonista número uno de la película es el cañón. All right, de artillería. And they take that cannon. But it's a good movie. Frank Sinatra is the leader of the partisans, so he's Spanish. And Sophia Loren is his lover, his girlfriend, or his wife, not his wife. Because I think Sophia Loren has a moment with Cary Grant as well. All right. But Carlos Larrañaga, and he was very young then, in 1957. Carlos Larrañaga was born in 1937, so he was 19 or 20 years old when they filmed that movie. Because the movie came out, the movie was released in 1957, but I don't know what exact date. I can find out the exact date. It was released in July 1957, which means it was probably filmed in the spring of 57 or in the winter and spring of 57. But I don't know if it was filmed in Great Britain or in the United States or in Spain. Of course, part of it was in Spain because one of the most interesting scenes was a knife fight, una pelea de navajas, in Campo del Criptana, debajo de los molinos de viento, in La Mancha. Well, it could be Campo del Criptana, it could be near Casa de San Juan, or it could be in Consuegra. All of these are located in the province of Toledo, no, Consuegra, I think is in Toledo. But Casa San Juan and Campo Gitana, I believe, are in Ciudad Real. Yes. But where did they, I don't know where they filmed it. I don't know where they filmed it. Let's see if I can find where they filmed most of it. And I can't find it. And there was a serious romance during the filming. A serious romance with co-star Sophia Loren. But it's interesting, Frank Sinatra is Italian by descent, Italian blood, and Sophia Loren as well. Sophia Loren, in English we say. But both of them played Spanish partisans during this. The film was shot on location in Spain. with amid persistent rumors that Sinatra took his part only to be here near his wife, Ava Gardner, with whom he was having marital problems. Yes. Yeah, Ava Gardner, Ava Gardner, as you say in Spain, Ava Gardner was living in Madrid for a period of time, and she was married to Frank Sinatra, and they were having marital problems. Así se dice en inglés, problemas matrimoniales, solemos decir problemas maritales. Marital, escrito, marital problems. And so Frank Sinatra accepted the role to play the leader of the Spanish partisans because the film was going to be shot. Se dice to film, to shoot. La película iba a ser grabada o filmada. All right. We say the film was going to be shot, como disparada. The film was going to be shot on location in Spain. And so Frank Sinatra came to be near Madrid during the filming of Orgullo y Pasión. Now, Carlos Larrañaga, José Nieto was also in the movie. And I'm not sure if that lady, what was her name? The from Campo de Criptana. I can't remember her name. I'm not sure if she was in that movie as well. Yes. I'm not sure if she was in that movie as well. But I can't remember her name right now. Very famous actress and singer and entertainer in general from Campo de Criptana. Oh, What's her name? I have to find out. Yes. Famosa actriz de Campo de Criptana. Yes, Sara Montiel. Right. She wasn't in that movie. Yes. There's a statue of Sara Montiel in Campo de Criptana, a pecho descubierto. It's a very nice statue, really, to tell you the truth. The statue, if you look at statue, Sara Montiel, Campo de Criptana, and you can see it. And it's an interesting statue. I like it. Even though it's a bit, of course, it's a pecho descubierto. But it's a good statue, I think, in honor of this actress, who was not my favorite, but in any case, she was a very good actress, I believe. But I'm running out of time once again. But as usual, I always come back. Soy fiel. I will be back in just a few seconds. Stay close.
Nuevo concesionario Fiat en la zona norte de Madrid. Estamos en Tres Cantos, Avenida de los Artesanos 22. Les esperamos. Grupo Álvaro Villacañas.
Revive la emoción de la competición en Onda Madrid, donde cada domingo se apagan las luces del semáforo para trasladarnos todo lo sucedido en el Mundial de Fórmula 1.
MotoGP, rallies y Mundo Motorsport. La mejor fórmula para estar al tanto de todas las carreras, la previa, entrevistas y las curiosidades.
Una cita ineludible para amantes de la competición, donde periodistas, ingenieros y pilotos analizan en un mismo box toda la actualidad.
Te esperamos cada domingo de 12 a 2 de la madrugada con Juanma Fernández y todo su equipo.
Para que estés siempre en la pole position de la información del motor de competición.
Aquí, en Onda Madrid.
El mejor restaurante que puedas imaginar es tu casa. Y para que así sea, el Asador Villaranda es tu fiel aliado. Asados en horno de leña al estilo segoviano. Llévatelo a casa y guarda nuestro secreto.
Onda Madrid te desea felices Reyes Magos.
Hello again, welcome back. All right, we have 15 more minutes, so let's not waste any time, shall we? ¿Os parece? Shall we? ¿Os parece? Shall we? Let's not waste. No perdamos más tiempo. ¿Os parece? Let's not waste any more time, coma, shall we? Cuando sugieres es shall. ¿Abro la ventana? Shall I open the window? ¿Cierro la puerta? Shall I open the, shall I close the door? ¿Empezamos? Shall we begin? ¿Nos vamos? Shall we go? Cuando estoy buscando consenso, y digo esta frase con interrogación. Bueno, ¿qué os parece? ¿Nos vamos? Shall we go? Se dice shall en inglés. So shall we or shall I? All right, it's the summertime of 1976. Yo no estoy progresando con mi vida. Summertime of 1976. And finally, my parents returned to the United States. And I settled back into my little efficiency apartment or studio apartment on Calle Princesa número 8, 30 metros cuadrados de apartamento estudio. It's very small, opposite the Plaza de los Cubos. And I am teaching English and translating, and I'm working probably 3 or 4 hours every day for La Ford, Ford Motor Company, for the launching of the Ford Fiesta. I'm teaching classes in Ford, located in Plaza de Cruz, Soraje la Cruz, their offices, and I'm translating for them in every department. Accounting, finance, dealer expansion or the dealer network system, the accounting system for dealers, the spare parts system, o sea, el sistema de recambios, el departamento de recambios o repuestos, and and general in the service department with the engines, and of course marketing and sales promotion, merchandising, and public relations. Wow. And communication, of course. Aquí se dice comunicación, Departamento de Comunicación. In English, no, we say the PR. We say public relations. In Spain, you say relaciones públicas. People think las discotecas es relaciones públicas de la disco. But not in English. Public relations is el área de comunicación al público de una empresa. That's the PR, PR, or public relations department. And I'm very busy. In early September, during late August or early September, a young man by the name of Emiliano Gil, I remember his name, and his girlfriend, whose name I can't remember, were working in a company called John Deere. Hondere, John Deere, tractores, cosechadoras, vacadoras, tractors, combines, and balers. And John Deere's factory and commercial offices, sales offices, were located in Getafe along the Toledo Highway. All right. Now, the factory is still there, by the way. It's a very important factory for John Deere worldwide. The factory in Getafe today makes transmissions and gearboxes, cajas de cambios, transmisiones, for, I think, basically for combines. Combines son cosechadoras para la recolección, for the harvest. And Emiliano Gil and his girlfriend, or his fiancé es su prometida. Su fianza. it's a French word. His fiancé. We're working there. And one of them was working in the spare parts department. Repuestos. Ahí decían repuestos. En la Ford decían recambios. Okay. And he told me. He told me and Fernanda, my future wife. Because they were friends of Fernanda, the afternoon and evening receptionist in the language school where I was working. They told her that the head of spare parts, the spare parts manager in John Deere, was interested in English classes. She told me, and so I decided to go out to visit. And so I went out by bus, I probably went by taxi, to the John Deere facilities, parecer instalaciones, fabriles de fabricación, decimos facilities. We don't say installations. In English, the word installations no significa instalaciones. It's a false friend. Installations means los cableados y las cañerías, so tuberías, tubos, for la fontanería y para la electricidad. Lo que está dentro de las paredes o lo que se instala, vamos, lo que se instala son instalaciones. Now, in Spanish you say, venga a visitarnos a nuestras instalaciones en Getafe. All right. We don't say installations. We say the facilities. Claro. Suena raro. Facilidades. Facilities. And so I went to the John Deere facilities in Getafe, and I met two men, Jose Maria Sancho Artola and Jose Ortega. Jose Maria Sancho Artola was 57 years old. 57, I was 24. He was 57. And so he could almost be my grandfather. Almost. All right. Let's see, 24, 34, 44, 54. He was 33 years older than me. 33 years older. So he could be my father, not my grandfather. All right. And Jose Ortega was probably about 45. I don't remember. And Mr. Sancho was the head or the manager of the spare parts business for John Deere. And Jose Ortega was his right-hand man. All right. Now, Mr. Sancho, the 57-year-old manager, was also a member of the Spanish military, the Ejército Español. And he was a semi-retired from the military. He was an expert in artillery. And he spent, I think, maybe 1 week per year and several weekends with military inspections. And that was the extent of his work for the military. So he could work full-time for John Deere in the private sector. Interesting guy, but his English was absolute zero. I mean, cero absoluto. Hay un dicho que no sabía ni yes, pues no sabía ni no. I mean, he didn't know if in English you say no, nein, niet, or what. And Jose Ortega was the same. But they wanted class. And we made an agreement, because I think I made a good impression on them, to have class every day from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning. And I decided to do the class myself. I had probably 25 teachers working for me in intercom. Well, working for me, working for the lady from New York. I was not the owner, but I was the manager. But I saw potential because I asked Jose Maria Sancho Artola, I said, how many people work in this company? 1,700. And how many work in the offices? He said, 400. Okay. How many of the 400 speak English? And he said, probably 3. And he was right. I would say probably 5. Very few. And I said, but you're the subsidiary of the largest farm equipment multinational in the world. And you don't speak English? Eso es una filial monolingüe. Pues hay que convertir esta filial de John Deere en una filial bilingüe. So I saw there were dollar signs in my eyes. Mis ojos reflejaban signos de dólar. Oh, aquí hay negocio. There's a lot. So I decided to start the class myself. A beginner. Two beginners. One at age 57. My name is Jose. Two beginners. Starting at 8 o'clock in the morning on, I think it was September 9th, 1976. And I could say that is perhaps the most important day in my life. It could be. Because that was the beginning of what would become El Imperio Baugan. That was the beginning of my decision. I didn't make the decision. My decision was not to stay in Spain more than 2 years or three. But when I started that class, it started the ball rolling. It was the molecule. Cada imperio parte de una molécula o de una sola idea en la cabeza de una persona. Y luego se crean imperios. Amancio Ortega, cuando empezó when he started at the age of 14 in a shirt shop, una camisería, in the center of La Coruña, when he was only 14 years old. Every empire starts from a molecule. And I'm not sure if on September 9th, What would it be? It would be the first or second Monday of September. All right. Yes. What day? What day of the week was September 9th, 1976? Let's see. Jueves. So which means the previous was the 5th. I think I started later. The 10th, 11th, 12th, I think it was the 13th of September, probably. Yes, not the 6th of September. But I began, and they were absolute beginners. But I was a good teacher, a very good teacher. And I was especially a good teacher for beginners. Because in the 1970s, I started teaching in 1974. And for those 6 years, from 1974 to 1980, probably 50% of all of my students were beginners. So I became an expert on teaching English to beginners. So every day, starting on September 7th or September 13th, on a Monday, I took a bus to Getafe. The company bus. The company bus left from Cibeles. So I had to take the subway, the underground, from Plaza España, or from Ventura Rodriguez, to Cibeles. And the bus left at 7:30, so I needed to be there perhaps at 7:25. There was a kiosco con churros, ya no está, ahí en Cibeles, where the big bus stop, where all the buses stop, on the south side of the Cibeles Square. At that time, there was a pequeño chiringuito with churros and porras, no, churros. Los hacían los churros ahí. Yeah. And so I always went maybe at 7:15, arriving, having a coffee and churros. And then catching the bus to go to my class from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in Getafe with Jose Maria Sancho and with Jose Ortega. But with that, I have to say goodbye because I'm out of time once again. But I'll continue this story because now we're entering later into the fall of 1976 when I turn 25. Take care and see you next week.